Get your pet rocks going.
Hey, that song was Manchester Orchestra. The song is called Shake It Out.
Snack Factory, fruit sticks, apple, strawberry.
Check them out. Apples and strawberries and in one snack.
They sound just like what you just heard. They rock.
They rock.
You know?
Yeah.
Hey, everybody. It's time for new action features. We're a little bit behind. How many? How many?
Three weeks, I think. I think
you got married.
I got married while we were away.
You got married.
I got married. That's
congratulations, buddy.
That's on my news list. Thanks. We had a good time. The weather was perfect.
It was supposed to rain and it didn't.
That's right.
Look at that.
The weather was perfect.
It was perfect.
It was great.
It was a great day.
Everybody
outside,
had it.
We hung out.
Everybody seemed to have a good time.
Kids were running around having a good time.
It was great.
There were sandwiches.
There were pastries. Some sandwiches.
It was a good time.
Pastries. Matter of fact, I'm going to have a cupcake from that day right now.
Yeah, I already had an apple fritter earlier, so I can't.
You can't have it, but that's okay.
But I can eat some of these apple strawberry fruit sticks. I don't feel bad about those.
That's basically like eating fruit.
I don't feel bad about those.
Okay.
Just a random episode.
It's very random.
So much has happened. Let's get the bummer thing out of the way.
Yeah.
Adam West died.
You all know that he died.
Passed away, was it Friday?
Was it,
I think
Friday?
It was Friday?
I didn't hear about it until...
I don't want to tell you at your wedding, because I don't want to bum you out. It was Saturday, I think it was. I found out about it Sunday morning. Was your wedding? Your wedding was on Saturday.
Yeah,
so it was Friday night that it happened. And I heard about it Saturday, and I was like, oh, I'm not going to say anything. Well, I'm not going to bum Mike out on his wedding day.
What a bummer.
Huge bummer, man. Yeah, I said it a few times online now. He's not my favorite Batman. Michael Keaton is my favorite Batman. But he is my first Batman. And it'll always be my first, the first Batman, the thing that brought me into the world of Batman was watching those old 60s Batman shows on TV.
I think that show and Batman is really two separate things. I don't, like, Keaton and Adam West are not competing in my head.
They're two totally different takes. Just like the comic had so many different takes of Batman. Just one incarnation of Batman. I have many fond memories of me and my friend Jason Roberts, who I grew up with. We both watched the reruns all the time.
Jason Robards?
Yeah, I knew Jason Robards.
Whoa.
And he was bigger than me, so he was Batman and I was always Robin. We would borrow two of my dad's shirts. My dad had these 70s silken button-up shirts.
Yeah.
And we would borrow those and we would button just the top buttons around. And we would sit on the hood of my dad's car and pretend it was the Batmobile. We would go to school, and the teachers there would always call us Batman and Robin. And I remember they would, anytime there's a clipping in the newspapers, the TV guides, they'd clip it out and give it to us. We had this little book of all the Batman 60s, like clippings and stuff. So even though the show is campy and it's not, you know, maybe what people think of as the real Batman or the true Batman, it is a very important part of keeping Batman alive throughout all these years and Batman's popularity and bringing people into the world of Batman. Cause that show is still, you can give it to kids and they still love it. Adults can like the camp of it and the silliness.
It's a lot of fun.
It is a lot of fun
as an adult.
It really is.
And visually as a kid, I mean, I knew it was a little bit silly kind of.
Yeah.
It was great.
It was great. And episodes still hold up for what you want them to be.
Yeah.
And from everything I've ever heard, Adam West was a great guy, like a really sincerely great guy to all everybody that's met him, all the fans that are talking about him afterwards. They talk about what a great guy he was.
Especially the ladies.
But you don't get that often where it's like a universal love of this actor and his take on this character. Get some people to creep in and go, oh, yeah, that guy's a real jerk, or oh, this guy in real life did this. To hear that a hero that you have is really a nice guy. When you meet him, he's really a good guy, is nice to hear. And it's few and far between, and it's a real bummer that he's gone.
Adam Lee.
Man, it's getting to be not many people left from all those 60 shows, man. We got William Shatner still around. We got Burt Ward and Julie Newmar from the Batman 60 show. We got a few cast members left from Star Trek other than Shatner, but a lot of these people, Roger Moore, we just lost recently. A lot of these people are just going to start trailing off. It's a real bummer to have to witness that, you know?
Yeah. I guess every generation has to go through that to a degree.
I guess, but it's almost like we're in a different time now because, you know, television series really became rampant in the 50s and 60s. Yeah. So we're, sure. Now we have to let those people go as they get older and older and older to the point where, you know, you're raised on some of these shows and it seems like these people will always be around and now they're not dying off.
Yeah.
I heard, you know, they're doing a sequel to that Batman animated movie that's based on the 60s, Return of the Caped Crusaders. We talked about this in the show, I think, before, but the sequel is going to have Two-Face and William Shatner's playing Two-Face in it. It's going to be drawn to look as if Shatner had played the role then, which is great. And I was kind of worried that, even though it's kind of selfish, I was worried that Adam West hadn't finished his dialogue before he passed. And they made the announcement that he did finish recording.
Wow. That's really the point. If it's going to be somebody else,
it really stinks. Yeah. I wouldn't want another one without Adam West and Burt Ward. I mean, there's a lot of sound alikes.
Sure.
Cause all they had left to record was Adam West, Burt Ward, and Julie Newmar to do those three roles. So all the villains in the other one were kind of sound-alikes, but you really have to have Adam West.
Yeah.
Batman, if you're going to have a sound-alike, just don't do it. Just don't do it.
Yeah.
It's kind of pointless. Well, so I look forward to seeing that.
I still haven't seen the first one.
I've only seen bits and pieces of it. There were some things I saw that I didn't like that they had done with it, but maybe I'll give the whole thing a fair shake to see if maybe those parts are just something that's makes sense when you watch it all together. I'll definitely watch the sequel, though, because William Shatner and that William Shatner's Two-Face is a great idea.
Yeah.
And plus it's the last hurrah. All right. So that's out of the way. We miss Adam West. What do you got?
Well, Mel Gibson is in Daddy's Home 2.
Yeah.
With Mark Wahlberg. Why are they making a sequel to that movie?
I guess it did well.
It wasn't that funny.
I didn't see it.
I didn't know. I didn't know how it did at the theater, but
I think it did pretty good.
Man.
Yeah.
This seems like Mel Gibson. Okay. Just did Hacksaw Ridge. He directed that, and it was got all these nominations, all this critical praise. I think he was acting in another movie, which is a serious movie. This is the type of movie you do. It's like a death knell. It's like, we're gonna do a. It's gonna be a white poster with red letters on it, and you know.
I don't know. I mean, maybe he just wants to do a comedy.
He probably does just want to do a comedy. And that's fine.
Well, and, you know, De Niro did, like, those, the Fockers.
Mm-hmm.
He did those movies. Those are comedies, and that's De Niro.
I don't think those were any good, though.
I don't know. I didn't see him.
Exactly. Exactly.
I don't know. Who knows?
Will say this. I'm glad to see that Mel is getting some work. And,
yeah.
And people are saying
that they're willing to put him in high-profile roles.
Yeah.
John Lithgow's in that, too. He plays Will Ferrell's dad.
That's right.
There's been a bunch of press lately on different websites talking about how he regrets turning down the Joker role in Tim Burton's Batman.
Oh.
It's one of his biggest regrets. He regrets it all the time. But all these news agencies are treating it like it's this huge news, like John Lithgow could have been Joker in Tim Burton's Batman.
Of course.
Okay. So?
20-year-old news.
Okay, yeah. So maybe you're treating it like nobody knows that, but still, what's it really matter? Jack Nicholson was great. John Lithgow wouldn't have been Jack.
I don't think I would have enjoyed.
I wouldn't have enjoyed him. I like John Lithgow. I think he's a great actor.
I like him too. I don't know if I.
But Jack as Joker? Come on. We don't need to worry about anybody else because we got Jack as Joker. What does it matter?
You know,
does it matter who else was going to play it?
You know how the news does it.
Oh, they love it.
There's still that article about George Lucas. George Lucas is sour, is upset with Star Wars, and
yeah,
should he like? They're still
crush you like a bug.
They're still putting that story up.
Yeah, they're still.
No, was George Lucas out of line? That's what it
was.
Says.
He out of line?
Well, we answered that like 2 years ago when he said that thing.
Why are you printing that stuff? Why are you printing that stuff?
Okay. So anyway,
speaking of Star Wars,
yeah,
did you see the Mark Hamill having to clarify his statements?
I knew that something like that was.
You know what? It's
did,
still.
Did we talk about it here?
We did. I think we talked about it.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we talked about Mark Hamill had made the statement that he fundamentally disagreed Yeah. With everything Rian Johnson. I think that's how you say his name.
We did talk about it on the show.
Maybe we did. I thought we did. Well, Mark Hamill stated he fundamentally disagreed with everything that they were doing with Luke Skywalker in Star Wars Episode 8. And he eventually just had to treat it as, I'm just the actor that's portraying this guy's vision and do my best in the role. Something to that effect.
Just doing my job.
I just kind of had to do his job. And it was very candid and very like straightforward. It wasn't backtracking on it at all. It was very much, I disagree with everything you're doing with Luke here, but I'm just going to do my job. I'm an actor and I'm here to take forward your vision. I trust Mark Hamill's take on Luke Skywalker.
He's been living with it.
So that worries me.
Yeah.
Very much worried me. So then I saw an article yesterday saying that Mark Hamill clarifies his statements. I'm like, okay, here we go. Here's the backtrack. But it still really wasn't that much backtracking.
Yeah.
He said something to the effect, and I don't know the exact quote, but this is basically the effect of it, was I got in hot water over what I said. I should have been more clear that, you know, I was not really, maybe that I wasn't with it at first, but then I kind of followed him on the journey and it was interesting. And it was an interesting thing to do. And I hope that fans find it interesting as well, or something like that. But it was very, very matter of fact and not so much gushing about it and saying it was a great move and I love everything he did with it and I can't wait for you guys to see it. It was very much felt like, okay, I've got to say something nice, but I'm still going to be honest that it's an interesting take. And I saw what he was doing and it was thrilling to do it. And I hope the fans find that that way also or something. But it still wasn't saying that these are the right moves for Luke or that this is what you want Luke to do or that fans will be happy with what Luke's doing or that, you know, it's what we all feel Luke would do. None of that. It still felt very much like he's like, I don't really like what they did with Luke here. It was an interesting thing, but it's not what I would have done with Luke. Which is still, you know, he could be wrong. He could be, Mark Hamill thinks Luke could be doing, could be totally different to what we actually want Luke to be doing. We don't know until we see the movie.
Yeah.
But it does worry me because I do trust Mark Hamill.
He's got the inside scoop.
I think he would know Luke better than just about anybody.
Certainly better than
this new guy.
Whatever that guy's name is.
I don't know, man. That worries me. I don't hold much faith for episode 8, which is good to go into it with low expectations.
Yeah, yeah.
So we'll see what happens.
See.
What do you got?
See what happens. Well,
I'm going to keep eating these.
NECA is making a life-size Wonder Woman figure, so
I got NECA written down here too.
If you know,
hey,
if you want to get one, I guess you can get
whatever float your boat. Go ahead.
It'd be cool to have in your movie room, I guess. But yeah,
I'm a little scared. How many of those are actually going to be displayed in the movie room? And how many
are going to be
something else
used for
other things?
Personal
other things,
yeah. That was my first thought, sadly, was like, man, there's a lot of these guys are gonna just
NECA also debuted their exclusive Turtles pack, which is an 8-figure set that'll be at San Diego Con.
Whoa.
Based on the Turtles cartoons.
How much is that gonna cost? $160?
I don't even know. I'm sure it's gonna be more than that. I'm gonna guess 200. I don't know what it is though. I didn't look. It's the four turtles in cartoon colors. Shredder.
The Shred Dude.
2-foot soldiers and Krang in his little walking chair.
That's cool.
Yeah, pretty neat.
Is this from the cartoon?
Cartoon,
okay.
Mm-hmm. And the case looks like one of those old vinyl carrying cases.
That's cool.
Which is pretty sweet.
Mm.
An 8-pack, though.
That's a lot of figures.
It's a lot to make people pony up for all at once. Okay, when you did the 4-packs, that was okay, because you were broken into 2 sets. If you didn't want the villains, you didn't have to buy the villains.
You know I don't buy the bad guys.
I know you don't buy the bad guys.
I don't want them tainting my collection.
No, you gotta buy all 8. If you want the turtles, you gotta buy all 8. And one could say, if you're gonna buy the turtles, you're probably gonna want the rest too anyway. But it just kind of stinks that we're in this day and age where you kind of have to buy all of it at once. It's a lot.
Let me get that money.
They also showed their debriefing Dutch or whatever.
That's cool.
Red shirt. That's way cool.
Yeah.
People are complaining about it, saying it's a cheap figure. Why did you do it? Was he really wearing those kind of pants? He really should have came with sunglasses. All these complaints about it. And I'm like, It's an exclusive. Just pass on it if you don't want it.
It's just one.
It's just one figure. Personally like it because it looks just like you could put... It's just Arnold Schwarzenegger from the 80s.
Right.
Just him in a pair of pants and a red polo shirt.
You could definitely do a Total Recall custom with that.
Totally. Recall. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, for sure, man.
It's pretty much done. You just have to paint the shirt.
That's all you got to do. Just paint the shirt, you're done. You got Total Recall.
That's tempting.
He's got a cigar in his mouth.
You could switch out the head. There's a lot of Arnold heads.
It's a cool looking figure. I think it's neat.
It's cool.
They also have like a Coraline exclusive they showed, and I don't know what else. There was some other exclusive, but I don't remember what it was. But we're in the season now where convention exclusives are being revealed.
Season of the Witch.
I wrote down a couple more of those if you just want to run through that. Yeah, sure. Skybox and McFarlane revealed their Walking Dead exclusive set.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah. It's a...
Did you see it?
G.I. Joe.
Yeah, the Shiva Force.
Shiva Force.
Yeah. Shiva's a tiger in The Walking Dead.
Okay.
And so the Shiva tiger figure is first in this set. And they've taken some of the main characters from The Walking Dead and put them in basically Tiger Force colors. Yeah. The packaging looks like old G.I. Joe packaging. It's a neat idea. I'm surprised that Hasbro isn't kind of raising a stink because it's obviously a take on Tiger Force, but they know the legalities better than I would. I would just think it would be.
Maybe they even got some sort of permission or something.
I mean, they don't call it Tiger Force. It's just visually like it.
Right.
That's all. But it's very neat. It's a very inventive set. It's a cool idea. And it's exactly what an exclusive should be, where it's something you could ignore. But if you really want to go after it, it's something neat enough to go after. You know, those are the best kind of exclusives.
You got that right.
What else did I write down? Did you see the G.I. Joe set? Hasbro's doing?
I saw a tiny little thumbnail of it. What's that really neat.
What's
that about?
Well, back in the day when we were kids, there was the Missile Command headquarters.
Yeah.
Which was a cardboard playset that included Cobra Commander and two of his troops. It's a very, very hard set to find. It was made of cardboard, obviously, so not a lot of them survived over the years. They got trashed. Finding one mint complete is almost impossible. And a lot of the Mickey Mouse symbol, which is what they called these Cobra Commanders, that had this weird, funky Cobra symbol, a lot of those came from that set. That's a really hard variation to find on Cobra Commander. So they're doing that set as a San Diego exclusive, the Cobra Commander that comes in the set, the 25th anniversary style. But the Cobra Commander has been painted with that same Mickey Mouse type symbol, Mickey Mouse Cobra Commander symbol. And the set is almost an exact replica of the old one. It's made of cardboard. You pop it out. The box is a very, very close facsimile to the original box. It even has like printed wear on the box as if it has been around all these years. And it's only $50.
That's cool.
That's a good price for something that neat.
That's a good way for people to... You know,
to get the Missile Command too. If you don't have the original one,
get that. Yeah,
if you just want to have one. I mean, I know there are other repros out there that have been made over the years, but if you want one that's really nice, that's made by Hasbro, and you want to have it sitting on your shelf, plus you get three exclusive figures with it, three figures, a big set, the box, $50. $50 to me seems really affordable for that kind of thing, and it's just a neat idea. And I'm kind of surprised. It seems like every year now they have to tie the G.I. Joe exclusive in with the Transformers thing. Mm. It's nice to see just a G.I. Joe exclusive again. I'm tired of 25th anniversary molds.
Yeah.
But at least it's something neat and different. Yeah. It's just kind of strange that it's even happening because it's almost like they don't even care about G.I. Joe anymore.
That's what it seems like to me. Yeah.
It's very much just we also have G.I. Joe. To have this kind of forethought and such a neat looking exclusive, it's like this should have came out back when the 25th anniversary line first started. That's how cool it is and how neat it is and how much ties into the legacy of G.I. Joe. But better late than never.
Yeah.
You know?
Why not throw a curveball to the people once in a while?
Throw it, man. Okay, I think that's all I have for exclusives. What do you have?
I don't have anything exclusive.
Well, move on to another subject then. We'll close these up before I eat them all.
Did you see that girl who texts her boyfriend and encouraged him to commit suicide?
You told me about that.
Yeah. Terrible story. This girl, but then here's what I want to talk about. She's got this giant alien head.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, like you think at a glance, oh, that's a normal girl. There's something wrong. She's got a big, she looks like Edgar Allan Poe.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
She looks like one of those Blythe dolls.
Yes.
Remember those Blythe dolls?
Yeah, she looks like that. So
I haven't seen her, but that's what,
well,
that's
what it sounds like. Weird. Her name's Michelle Carter. You guys can look up the story. It's just weird. You know, some people you can tell, like, oh, that's the type of girl that would text her boyfriend and encourage him to commit suicide.
You can
suicide.
See it in her face.
Yeah, you can see, like, it in her face that she would do that.
That's the one.
That's the one that did that.
Way to bring a show down, man.
Yeah. I talk about what I can.
That's sad news.
I picked the best things I had.
If you want. I tried Pepsi Fire.
What's that about? Was it spicy?
Well, you know, I don't drink soda. I've drank soda all year. I tried the Mountain Dew Red, White, and Blue. I tried one. See what it tasted like. Pretty good. And I tried a Pepsi Fire because it was new. I tried one. And it's got a cinnamon taste to it.
Okay.
Like, it's supposed to be spicy.
But it's hot spot.
I liked it. Spicy. You know, I liked it. It was, I really liked the Pepsi Holiday Spice they had a few years ago. Not many people remember it. But I liked this too. It's, a lot of people are saying it's gross, but it just has, like, kind of a tingle afterwards. Yeah. An aftertaste, like, kind of a little burny type aftertaste. That was yummy. That was yummy. Good on Pepsi for trying something different too.
Hey, Pepsi knows how to try different things.
People are tired of just putting cherry flavor in a regular drink and calling it a new drink.
They're tired of their Pepsi being,
you gotta try something different.
Being brown colored. They want it to be clear.
They
want to
have a clear Pepsi every once in a while too.
That's
so
cool.
It was good.
That's cool.
It's good. I tried it. I liked it. Maybe you'll try it too.
I don't know if I will.
Maybe you won't.
I don't know. I like Coke.
You like Coke, not Pepsi.
I do.
Matt tried it. Matt liked it too.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I like hot and spicy V8.
Well, if you like spicy things, maybe you'll like it.
Maybe I will.
What do you got that's up next on your list?
Well, check this out. A lady in a New York casino.
You're going deep, man.
She's pulling. She's playing slot machines.
Yeah,
it's a computerized one. It's like
it's a computer brain.
It's a computer brain, and she wins $43 million.
That's a lot of money.
She takes her picture next to it, a selfie, as they call it.
Yeah,
next to it with the screen saying $43 million.
Selfie. She.
The casino informs her that it was just a malfunction, and she doesn't actually get that money.
What?
So they gave her a steak dinner. And the $2 and something that she spent in the...
That's not right.
I know.
That's not right.
They're saying that the machine was calibrated for a max of $6,500 win, right? So there's some sort of glitch in there that somehow...
That's not her fault. You are $43 million.
That's what I said. At the very least...
Give her the $6,500.
Give her the $6,500 because she got the most that you could...
Yeah.
You know, it's the most you can get, but what a... What a crock, man. You have people playing.
That's not right.
People throwing money into your business.
You could just come up anytime. Anytime somebody wins big and go, oh, it was just a glitch.
Oh, that was a glitch.
That was a glitch. Here's $2 and a dinner.
You can get a steak.
That's terrible.
What?
Please tell me that, like, she's suing or something.
I would hope so. I don't know. I think she did seek legal ramifications. I don't know what's happening with
it. I hope she gets some money.
That's
got to be a horrible feeling.
That's ridiculous. Oh, yeah.
That's terrible.
To think. I'm done. I can finally stop working.
Yeah, I can take a break. I can take it easy now. I can
buy my mother a house, maybe.
Yeah.
Nope.
It's terrible. Terrible. Nope. Terrible news. Man, you got all the terrible news.
Imagine trying to eat that steak.
Yeah. Oh, it doesn't taste like $43 million
steak. You're sitting down to that steak.
You're pouring as much A1 as you can on it.
I'm really mad about this, but...
Guess I'll eat this steak.
But that'd be hard to get through that steak.
I wouldn't eat it.
I'd throw it on the floor.
No thanks.
And stomp on it.
That's terrible, man. That's terrible.
Isn't that terrible?
I'm mad for. I wasn't even there, and I'm mad for. I want to call the casino up.
Why not? Why have a digit? What's the point of a digital slot machine? It's just like a big computer screen.
Yeah.
And it just has. It said it's boring to me. Why don't you have
the real machine?
So just put a real machine.
And you watch them spin.
That way, you know.
That's terrible. That's terrible news you've given us.
That's all I've got. That's the best of what I've got.
Well, I got a few good things.
I had a bunch of bad stuff.
Hey, the Fantastic Four movies, the ones with Chris Evans in them, they're not as bad as everybody says they are.
Mm.
They're really not. I rewatched those the other day. Okay, the treatment of Dr. Doom is horrendous. It's unforgivable how bad a job they did on Dr. Doom. And for years, I've hated the first one because of how they treated Dr. Doom.
Yeah.
Second one, same deal. Bad treatment of Dr. Doom. Even worse treatment of Galactus. But the Fantastic Four themselves, not bad. It's not bad.
They put on the suits.
It's not bad.
They have the costumes.
Watch them again. Give them another chance. They're really not as bad.
Watch them.
Ignore Dr. Doom.
Watch them surf on a silver surfboard.
Ignore Dr. Doom. Ignore the fact that you don't get to see Galactus. Don't think that he is that cloud. Think that the cloud is just around him. That's what's coming with him. He's in the cloud, but he still looks like Galactus.
Make believe
he still looks like Galactus. There's a part where there's a shadow on something and it looks like his shadow. Just pretend that he's there. Is it stupid that they make him look like Galactus? Yeah, it's stupid. Hey, it's better than that Fantastic Four reboot.
You got a man to stretch out his hands.
It's better than that.
He can stretch his neck.
I'll tell you what, it's better than Iron Man 3. I liked them both better than Iron Man 3.
Wow.
Iron Man 3 made me angry how terrible it was.
Wow.
It was horrible. Don't give Iron Man 3 a pass and then not be okay with the Fantastic Four movies.
Wow.
Because you know how bad a job Iron Man 3 did with Mandarin?
Lots. Big, big bad job.
Horribly bad.
Big bad job.
Just as bad as that is the Doctor Doom treatment in the Fantastic Four movies. But if you're going to ignore the Mandarin treatment, you got to ignore the Doctor Doom treatment.
I would never.
And you got to be cool with the Fantastic
Four. I would never ignore Mandarin.
If you're going to ignore it, ignore it all.
I wouldn't.
Ignore everything then. If you're going to come to me and you're going to tell me Iron Man 3 is good, I'm going to tell you Fantastic Four movies. Go watch them.
Go watch those instead.
Go watch them instead then. See if you still think they're bad.
Yeah.
I think people just, their expectations were higher than of all comic films. And I'm not saying they're great. I'm not saying that at all.
Yeah.
I still think we need a great Fantastic Four movie.
You went back to them and they weren't as bad as
everybody lets on them being. As saying they are. And those are so terrible. Those are so horrible.
Watch a man catch on fire.
Not really. There's some funny moments. Do I like the Thing suit? Not really. I think it could have been better, but at least it was a suit.
Watch a man turn his skin into stone and rock.
Yeah, man. Watch it when it happens.
Hey,
see what happens to you.
You think Chris Evans having been Captain America now helps in rewatching, because he's kind of won over.
I took Chris Evans, and I was worried about him being Cap, because I took Chris Evans as being kind of that cocky jerk type thing. He was really that, but he was just acting.
He thought his man was going to burst into flames.
And
throw fireballs
and just be a jokey kitty guy all the time, like a Ryan Reynolds guy all the time. But I was wrong. It's him acting.
Exactly.
And he does a great job acting as Johnny Storm, like as a kind of punk, attitude-y, full of himself Johnny Storm.
He's a flamer.
There you go. He's that. I encourage everybody to give him another chance. Are they great? No. Are they better than some of the comic films that are out nowadays? Yes.
Check them out.
They are. Give him another shot.
You watch a man stretch. You can watch a
girl take her clothes off, become invisible.
Turn invisible. Watch a man turn into fire.
Watch a man stretch himself. Watch a man everywhere.
Yeah, that's all the elements.
All of them.
You have all the four elements
represented. Ignore Doctor Doom. I can't stress this enough, because I know somebody's going to come back and say, "Wow, I can't believe you like those." Yeah, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that not as bad as everybody remembers. And I completely agree that if you're a Doctor Doom fan, they are horrendous.
Maybe you could take Doctor Doom from the Corman movie and splice him into that.
Put him in there. I like the Corman movie too, though.
Yeah, it's fun.
Effects are horrible.
That is what it is.
But the movie is
fun.
So there's that. I have more, or you can do something, whatever you want to do.
I don't have many things, so
I'll keep going then.
Okay, you
want to do something?
You do one and then I'll do
Thundercats, done.
Ho!
Done. Not happening anymore. That line is over.
Yeah.
I could have told you that when Super 7 took over the license.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I know it all. I'm not saying that I'm right. I'm not saying that this is definitely what happened. But it sure did seem when they first made that announcement that they were not going to be getting Thundercats. That when they made the announcement that Super 7 was taking over Master of the Universe for Mattel, it seemed very clear to me that Thundercats was not part of that. And that they were making it pretty clear that they weren't going to be doing Thundercats. At the time, Mattel still had Thundercats stuff to sell. They still had figures that were not released that were going to go on for sale on their website. After everybody threw an uproar that Super 7 was not going to continue Thundercats, then Super 7 said, "We're going to try and pursue Thundercats. We're going to try and make it happen."
Mm.
And that to me sounded a lot like Mattel probably went, "Don't tell them you're not going to continue Thundercats. We still have Thundercats to sell. If you tell them it's over, they're not going to buy our Thundercats now.
Yeah.
You're going to be costing us these sales." And again, I'm not privy to what's going on, but it sure does seem like that would be a likely scenario. Because the deal for Motu, that Super 7 is a small company, the deal to get Motu only involves Mattel's licensing.
Yeah.
They only have to make a deal with Mattel and pay Mattel. Just like NECA when they did the Sactions, after the 2000X line died out, and MOTU was kind of looked at as if it's kind of a not as valued as a commodity at Mattel. They made the deal with NECA, and NECA was able to do the Sactions. I'm sure that Masters of the Universe Classics is kind of viewed the same way now at Mattel that the 2000X line was viewed back then, where it's kind of run its course. It's not as valued a commodity. So they made the deal with Super 7. And it was probably a good deal on both sides. Thundercats, they would have to pay Mattel for the mold usage and for their, you know, usage of the license that they have. They'd also have to pay Warner Brothers. Super 7 probably is not looking at making that kind of deal because it's way too expensive based on how small of a company they are. And they probably weren't really that interested in pursuing it because of all the money that would have to be involved. And now licensing the molds and everything from Mattel and the usage of those figures, because they were all going to match the MOTOK buck, and paying the licensing to Warner Brothers. They have said that Warner Brothers said no to it. And that's probably because, they got a new, maybe they're going to be doing a reboot or something. That's what Super 7 is saying now, that WB said no. But everybody's saying, well, the Loyal Subjects, which are those small figures, they're doing Thundercats. They're letting them license those. Why would they then not let you license something if they're licensing out those, if the whole thing is they're waiting for a reboot? So it all just seems kind of weird. Like, everything doesn't quite add up, that it would just be Warner Brothers saying no, and it would take until this long for Warner Brothers to say no after all this time of them supposedly going after it and pursuing it and everything. And I could be totally wrong. I could be looking way too much into it. They really might have pursued it. Warner Brothers really might have said no. But to me, it seems a little convenient. There was hope when Mattel had figures to sell. Now that Mattel is over with, now there's no hope.
Right.
And so people are left with another incomplete Thundercats line.
So Thundercats curse.
It really is now, man. We had Bandai do that funky giant scale. And then go, okay, well, we won't do that anymore. Change the scale.
For what, two figures?
For two figures. Lion-O and Tigra. Then change the scale down to a smaller scale, and then do Lion-O again and Mumm-Ra, which should have been the two that they did before in the first place.
Right.
But then Cartoon Network botched the Thundercats revival so horribly that the other Thundercats lines died, and so then the Classics line died.
Yeah, and all that stuff was together. You had like three different scales sitting on the shelves
all at once
of two different versions of the cartoons.
The cartoon was great.
Yeah, I'm sure it was fine, but
Cartoon Network hadn't done a horrible job with it, it probably could have kept going. And then we get Mattel stepping in to do it. People wanted all along to match the MOTU Classics. And instead of doing like the core group as fast as they can, they tried to do the MOTU thing and spread it out as far as they could. So we got character choices like Lion-O and Jackal-Man. Why is it not Lion-O and regular Mumm-Ra? And then we got Panther, which makes sense. But then Pumira instead of Chitara.
Right.
What?
I like Pumira as much as the next guy.
I do too, but I want Chitara before I want her.
Yeah.
I want the core group before I want all the extra people. I want the core group and Mumm-Ra. That's what I want. I'll take the other things afterwards. But unless I can get those core guys, why do I want it?
Yeah, what's the point of having just a part of a team?
I'm going to have Pumira, Panther, Wile E. Cat, and Lion-O? Where's Tigra? Where's Chitara? I'm going to have Jackal-Man and Mummy Mumm-Ra? That's all I got to fight these guys with? Come on, guys.
Come on, guys. Plus,
it is the Thundercats curse, man.
It's the Thundercats curse.
It really is.
Stinks.
Doesn't seem like it's ever going to happen again.
Well.
So there's that.
Well, speaking of Mattel, I have a letter that I wrote to them.
Oh, really? What's that all about?
Well, let's see. This was from 2011. Hey, Mattels, I've been thinking about technology, and let's face it, kids are loving the internet. Texting, texting, music pads, and cordless phones are popular with kids, teens, and young adults. Our target buying audience, studies have shown. So how can we capture that target market with toys they can be interested in? I have a line of toys to inject into our Eternian line. One, email. That's E-M-A-L-E.
I get it.
Email.
I get it.
Main leader of the advanced race to help He-Man. He has a larger cord.
Archer cord?
Laser cord. He has a laser cord to communicate. Yeah, I thought it said larger cord.
I think it's better larger.
I was
can get more communications through that.
I was beginning to wonder if this was an appropriate one or not, because I've not read these.
A larger cord. We can't get all this communications through these tiny cords. Who are we going to call on? Email.
What about email?
He's got the biggest cord around. Teal is a big fan of email.
Tila.
Tilor. I see you speak a lot of Thai with email. Is that because of his larger cord? I can get just as many communications done with my smaller cord if you just give me a chance. It's still a family-friendly show. We're just talking about communications. That's it. I had a date with T-Lore tonight, but she stood me up for email. She's got to check her email, she said. And she even spelled it to me afterwards. She said, I've got to check my email. That's E-M-A-L-E. To make sure I knew that it wasn't really the real email. Had it rubbing in my face. I would have been fine thinking she was actually checking her email. I didn't have to know it was spending time with my enemy.
Sulu's enemy.
Yeah. I can't tonight, Sulu. I've got to check my email. E-M-A-L-E. Oh, no. Not again. T-Lore. All right, keep going.
All right. Two, iClops.
iPod. Like Triclops?
Yeah.
Kinda.
Both an I. A lowercase I.
It's iPod.
A lowercase I.
Yeah.
iPod Nanos are so popular, why not?
iPod Nano!
Or should I say, I not? Comes with a sword.
No explanation!
It comes with a sword. Number three, Eric Hackton.
Eric Hackton? Is that what that play on?
I'm sure.
That's his play.
Yeah, because he's a minstrel of Eternia and Preternia. He tours both. But is also evil informant for Skeleton and the Evil Horde.
Preternia is Eternia in the past.
Yeah.
But somehow he travels between both. It's not a location. It's
popular.
Two time periods.
He's popular in both.
He's a classic.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a golden oldie. So he's around in pre-Eternia times and Eternia times.
Maybe he uses a power sword to travel back and forth.
Maybe he does. Maybe. Yeah. He hacks time, Eric Hackton.
Yeah, there's no explanation about hacking in there. Number four, Webman.
Webman.
Number five.
No explanation of Webman.
No,
that's good enough.
That's good. Number five, Pageor. The last of an elderly race. But it's the
Pager. Yes.
But it's not respected by Beastman, Mermaid, and Stratos, Prince of Disguise. He gets it done, though.
Prince of Disguise.
Prince of Disguise.
Not the skies.
No.
Disguise.
I know my masters. Mermaid.
Is that Stratos is the Prince of Disguise?
Stratos,
Prince of Disguise. Stratos with a mustache on. Hey, have you guys seen Stratos? Just kidding, it's me. Takes the mustache off.
Yeah.
Prince of Disguise.
He's not respected by these.
No.
He gets it done, though. Comes with a staff of power to unlock Eternia's secrets.
Of course it does. Yeah. There's a lot on this one. You got a good
Oh, yeah. On I really one. Went. I had a lot of ideas. Six, Nano. He-Man needs him to help him lift the sword when he's Prince Adam so he can become He-Man, because that doesn't happen until he lifts his magical sword.
Yeah.
And it's heavy.
Oh. Nano Man.
That's the explanation for that guy.
He doesn't do much.
I don't
He's been on The Secret, too.
I'm not sure I know what a Nano was. I just...
Yeah, it's an iPod Nano.
It's a character.
But it's a name.
7. Pod Swindler.
Wasn't that last one 7?
This is 6.
Oh, okay.
Nano was 6.
Okay.
Number 7, Pod Swindler. No one can communicate with him because he's pumping his head full of music all the darn time. Pretty... I can tell this is a social commentary I was going through. But... all the darn time, pretty much useless, so they let him roam the castle freely with no bother. Which is great because it allows him to become the best evil informant King Randor has.
Whoa!
As a feature that if you squeeze his legs together, music comes out of his backpod backpack. And backpod is trademarked.
Like the old Bill and Ted figures. Like the Bill and Ted figures. The legs, yeah. And it would have the, you plug it in, you have the sound.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty sweet.
And there we have it. One and done. Put these out.
7 and done.
put these out and we make millions on the technological advancement. Trick we can do is make the figures so that they're obsolete in a few months, so kids, teens, and young adults have to buy more.
Ah, get the update. Get to pay for the update of the figures.
Get all the updates.
I get you.
Matt fan 2. That's what it says.
Like Mattel fan.
2.
Yeah, 2. I don't know what the 2 means.
I don't either. I never sign it that way.
That's weird.
I did that time, though.
All right. Well, since we're still on the subject of toys, did you see that McFarlane's doing Stranger Things?
I did see that, yeah.
Have you watched that yet?
I haven't watched it. I watched the first couple episodes, and...
I really like it. Blaze really likes it. Yeah. And he's been talking about... He even bought a couple of those vinyl pops.
Oh.
Just because he...
It's all that.
He's like, I
gotta
have something.
That's all it was.
And so when I told him it was McFarlane, he was kind of like, okay.
That's you know, the sculpts are going to be good.
Yeah, but are they going to be like McFarlane's doing now, where it's just like a statue?
Yeah.
Because it didn't seem like that took off very well. The new color tops or whatever it is, where it's the pre-posed 7-inch figures that are just stuck in one pose that nobody really wants. They're already hitting clearance at Toys R Us. But they showed, you know, there's these mock-up pictures, and they're on like vintage card backs, which is kind of cool. Like they're made it to look like old card backs. They're 7-inch, and the digital sculpts are just them standing straight forward.
Yeah.
They're supposed to have 12 points of articulation. You can make 12 points work.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
As long as it's not stupid cut joints in places that don't make sense.
Very dumb, yeah.
I don't know. I like some of their smaller Walking Dead figures. I think that those are well done a lot of time. And if these are basically just scaled up versions of that, then I'll buy them. I'll buy the Hooper and the 11.
I think it seems he's done his... His bigger figures are a little bit different. The Walking Dead is so inconsistent with articulation.
Yeah.
Some of them you get like a regular articulation.
Some you don't.
Pre-posed and with a weird joint or something.
Yeah, all those 7-inch ones, though, everyone I've seen in the store is like a pre-posed statue thing.
Yeah.
And these are supposed to be 7-inch, so I really hope that it's not some pre-posed.
It'll be okay.
Blaze is like, I'm going to get them regardless.
They're just going to stand on the shelf.
Yeah, really. That's all they're going to do on his. They're just going to hang on the wall or sit on the shelf.
For something like that, it's like...
It kind of is okay.
This is not superheroes. They don't have to fly or do karate kicks or whatever.
If I wanted statues, though, I'd buy statues.
Well, that's what you're going to buy, because that's all that's going to be out.
I want something that at least I can put a pose on it before I put it on the shelf.
You
want
to strike a pose.
Maybe it'll strike a pose.
With it. There's nothing to it.
And I don't want stupid joints in it if it's going to be a statue.
Yeah.
Don't give me stupid cut joints and swivels that... Just make it look dumb, and they shouldn't have been in the first place. Just make it a full-on statue if you're going to do that. Don't even bother. Don't even put any articulation
in it. Don't even do
it. Just make it the statue then. Okay?
I don't know why it does that.
I don't know why either. Like, he talks about the articulation points, like, on that new Spawn. It listed the articulation points.
You can't do anything with it.
Yeah. It's just there. It's just one figure. That's it. Just one stance, that's all you're going to have out of it.
Maybe he doesn't know what the articulation is for.
Maybe he doesn't. I don't know.
I've seen other people put the joints in there.
They'd like to have the articulation.
Maybe I could put one in there.
I don't get it. Maybe it's just to say it's got articulated figure, but pointless. All right, come on, you got something else.
I only have one more thing. And it's
five more things.
It's really... I don't want to get into honestly.
Four, five. I have 6 more things.
I don't want to get into the thing I have.
Okay, then don't. I hear nothing but good things about Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Neither of us have seen it yet, though.
Yep.
I do really want to see it. Like, I'm excited. Everybody I talked to has said, man, this is a signal that they could turn this around. Like, the DC films, if they're this caliber moving forward, then that'd be great. It would be great to have some really great DC films. One of my friends said it's the best DC film since Batman Returns. And that, to me, says a lot. Because I love Batman and Batman Returns. You know this.
If that guy's right.
If he's right, that's amazing to me. That's the highest form of a compliment in my eyes, to say that not only to put the Burton films, give them their due that they deserve, but to say, you know, it's on the same level as those, that's pretty great. I'm pretty excited about seeing it. I just want to kind of wait for the theaters to die down a bit before I go.
Yeah. I guess that's the only reason I had, well, I did get married.
You got married. That'll tie you up a little bit.
But, yeah, I want to see it.
I want to see it. I'm pretty excited
about
it.
I'm glad that it doesn't stink.
Yeah, me too.
Because
man.
Even though we complain a lot on here, I think we really would just like, we would like to see things be good.
Yeah.
I mean, we love this stuff, and I guess that's totally kind of why we're complaining about things when they're not good. But I don't hate DC films. I don't hate Marvel films. I don't hate superhero movies. I just hate to see them churned through the same old thing. And if somebody can do one right, I'm all about it.
Me too, man. I love the DC characters. I really do.
Yeah.
And I want great movies for them. I really want the competition between DC and Marvel. Just like in the comics, I want a true competition between them trying to better themselves. So I want, we're going to have comic book films, if that's going to be the most prevalent form of film, I want them to be as good as they could possibly be. Mm-hmm. And I want them competing with each other to one-up and make it better and better and better. And it really, it bummed me out that Batman versus Superman was not my cup of tea, and that Superman Man of Steel was not my cup of tea, because I want those movies to be good. And Jason Leonard, who comments on the show, and I know he's a big fan of the DC films, he sent me a really nice message saying, he's like, I know you don't like the other ones, and I know they weren't your cup of tea, but I really hope you give Wonder Woman a chance, because it really is good, and I think you'll really like it. And I understand your complaints about the other films. I think you'll really like this one. And it was really nice, man. It was a nice message, and it's nice to hear that, you know, people do understand that, you know, we don't all like the same things, but even though we've complained about it, we don't like them, he took the time to go, you know, I know you guys don't like them, but hey, give this one a shot. It really is something. He acknowledged that we didn't like the other things, but was cool with the fact that we have our own opinions, but to give it a shot. Well, and it, you know, a lot of times it really, online, it could be a lot of like bashing stuff. Or like, oh, you're going to hate them all. And this will teach you, that kind of stuff. It's nice to have the other side of it where it's like, okay, we recognize that you don't like certain things, but
I wish we could get this community, whoever's listening, and, you know, if people were talking face to face, it wouldn't be the way it is online. People wouldn't be so nasty, and there wouldn't be so, because there's a separation between the person and the statements, and we get that way. So, it's nice.
Yeah. So I'm excited about seeing it. It's just a matter of time getting there. Speaking of other comic films, did you watch the Black Panther trailer?
I did not. I was not impressed with the poster.
Okay, I was going to talk to you about the poster.
Yeah.
I actually kind of enjoyed the poster.
Everything looks CG in it.
It is CG. Yeah. It definitely does look like it's a Photoshopped head.
It looks like he's sitting in a cartoon room.
I agree that the Photoshop job was bad.
Yeah.
But I like the idea of the poster.
I love the idea of the poster.
I like the idea of the poster a lot.
It reminds me of the Phantom sitting on.
Totally. That's my thing is I wish the Photoshop job was better.
Yeah.
Why
not build an actual chair
and just have him sitting
and have him sit in
it? I completely agree. Right. I completely agree with that.
Yeah.
But I like the idea that it was like a simple poster, not so busy, not with 15 different people photoshopped in different spots.
That was good.
Some crazy thing going on over here and different scales of people and all this, like the Spider-Man Homecoming poster and how awful it is. And not just it, but a lot of awful posters, like the Force Awakens poster where all the crazy stuff's going on and just that overabundance, smack you with everything in the face, right on one poster. I was happy to see it not be that. I just wish it was, I wish it was a better Photoshop job. If you're going to do a Photoshop job, do a better job.
It made me, I questioned whether or not it was an actual official poster when I saw it. I just thought, okay, it's somebody that somebody did. This is a fan thing.
It's official.
That's sad to me. There's so many artists out there that would kill to be making real posters.
It's a shame too, because a lot of times you'll see where they'll do like a special run poster or like something through Mondo.
Yeah.
And those posters are almost always better than theatrical ones.
All those exclusive steelbooks and stuff. They have exclusive sets through Best Buy often has like, oh, we did all these, and they're all great.
Yeah.
And they've hired out artists. They've you know, paid freelance artists to do those.
And
they all look better.
10 times better.
So
than the Photoshop thing they do.
Why doesn't a studio just hire those people to begin with? As an artist, it makes me mad. And yeah. I know I wouldn't be one of the people picked, but with the Spider-Man poster, I saw, was it Muddy Colors? Some artist site was talking about it too. I mean, it was that bad where they had to address it and say things are breaking apart here as far as this being an art form. And even Drew Struzan, who could squeeze in, he'll squeeze in all the faces you want or whatever, but there's a certain
structure
to it. And there's a composition that has to work, and you can't just
big old mess. I'm appalled by that Spider-Man Homecoming poster. Yeah. It is awful. It's truly an awful poster. It's just poorly conceived, poorly executed. Even though we know from the trailers that they're promoting this Iron Man thing so heavy, it does not even feel remotely like a Spider-Man poster. Like it's an Iron Man poster.
Yeah.
It's awful.
The big Roger Donaghy Jr. is on the front.
He's right on there. And he's on there again as Iron Man. He's on there twice.
Yeah.
And Spider-Man's in the background. Like it's Spider-Man and they're all on his back. Like it's just awful. So that's why I kind of gave the Black Panther, I was more impressed by it. You know, I admit it's bad a Photoshop job because it wasn't so ridiculously busy and crazy and stupidly put together.
Yeah, it was nice to pull from the pullback.
But you didn't watch the trailer itself, though.
I didn't see the trailer, no.
I enjoyed the trailer.
Yeah? Is this a TV show or a movie?
It's a movie.
They're doing the movie.
Yeah, they're doing the movie. It's the same guy from Civil War.
Yeah.
Some really great Black Panther action shots.
He looks great in... Civil War.
He's awesome.
From what I saw,
Black Panther was awesome in Civil War. You know, even though the whole thing is about Spidey's appearing, Black Panther was way cooler than Spider-Man in that movie. Black Panther was awesome. So it's a really well done trailer. It's got I can't remember his name now. Why Andy Serkis? He's in it. He was in Age of Ultron as Claw, and now he's back again in this in the trailer, and he's just talking in the beginning of it. And they're showing shots of Wakanda, and the music's really well done. And the great thing about it is it's just Black Panther. Like, it's not Black Panther, and here's Iron Man.
And here's Captain
America, and here's a shot of the Wasp.
Yeah.
And here's also Ant-Man in this one scene. It's just Black Panther.
I love that.
I loved it.
I'll have to check it out.
What I really liked about it was that it's just focused on Black Panther, and all you're doing is telling a story of Black Panther. More of that, please.
More
like that. X-Men Dark Phoenix has been kind of officially like announced, basically. Simon Kinsberg, who's a writer, will be directing it. Instead of Bryan Singer's handing over the reins to him. But the cast is back, which was a big question, is if the new cast, you know, Fassbender, McAvoy, Jennifer Lawrence, those people will be back for another one. They are back for another one. So Dark Phoenix will take place in the year 1991 is what they're saying now. And so it'll have all the people from X-Men Apocalypse carrying forward the story into another X-Men movie.
Okay.
That's cool. Kind of early to be doing Dark Phoenix. Since they just introduced this new Jean Grey in the other movie and she didn't play that big of a role in X-Men Apocalypse.
Mm.
She wasn't a huge role in it. So to do Dark Phoenix right off the bat on her second outing is kind of weird to me.
Well, you know, they're impatient.
They're impatient. I'm pretty sure Kinsberg also wrote X-Men 3, which was basically the old Dark Phoenix thing.
Yeah.
So maybe this is a bit of redemption. Maybe he'll do a better job with the Dark Phoenix thing this time around. 1991, everybody's going crazy about that, saying, thank goodness, the best year. That's the year for X-Men.
Yeah.
Early 90s. Doesn't mean the movie is going to be like the early 90s X-Men, though. Just because it's true. Set in 1991 doesn't mean it's going to have anything to do with what you loved about the 90s X-Men.
Right.
It just means it's set in 1991. That's all it means.
That'll be interesting to see.
Yeah. Other movie stuff. Run through these real quick because we're already at 54 minutes. Did we talk about the Dan Aykroyd Ghostbusters thing on the show?
I don't think we did.
I think that the whole non-disclosure agreement that Dan was probably involved in is over because he's making it vocal that he disagreed with some of the things that Paul Feig did with the movie and that a lot of the problem of it failing falls upon Paul Feig's take on Ghostbusters and how he led forward the movie. He said that it was a big mistake to not incorporate the originators more in the process, and that it was, he just spent way too much money. That there were certain integral things that the movie needed plot wise. These were kind of glossed over for the big numbers that Paul Feig wanted to put in and spend a lot of money on. And then the movie was disjointed, and I'm paraphrasing. And seeing the movie, I can completely agree with what he's saying. Like, it's,
yeah, it's just more wrong than that, but yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely more wrong than that.
See, that it's, on one hand, I'm glad to hear Dan Aykroyd say it. On the other hand, it makes him out to be just a putz and a liar, because he came out and talked about how great the movie was before and stuff, and I know that he's got to promote it. He's got to promote it, but I'm tired. I'm sick. We're sick of being lied to.
It sucks.
By our politicians. Yeah. And we don't want to be lied to by
actors.
By
and
actors.
Stuff,
I mean, if Dan Aykroyd thinks the movie isn't any good, he should just keep his mouth shut, not go to the premiere or whatever.
I'm not sure how much of it is in your contract that you have to promote a film. I'm sure a lot of these actors and these producers and people involved in films do have to sign a contract, and it probably stipulates that you have to do a certain amount of promotion for the film.
Right.
And it has to be actually promoting a film and not talking against the film.
How about some integrity and just say, well, I'm not promising anything until I see what this movie looks like.
I don't know how Hollywood deals work, though.
I don't either.
You know, I mean, you may sign a contract and get involved in it, and once you're in it, you're in it. And that's, them's the breaks. And from Amy Pascal's emails, all that leaked stuff, she seemed pretty ruthless. Like, that it would be in your best interest to follow through with what you'd sign on to do. I've always liked Dan Aykroyd.
I
want to keep liking Dan Aykroyd. So I part of me, I mean, it's ridiculous and kind of not cool to be this way, but I want to believe that his dishonesty in saying the film was so good was really a matter of fulfilling a contractual obligation.
And it very well could have been.
Because that movie was a dog. It was a turd. It's amazingly awful. But I see a little truthfulness now, you know? Hey. The last thing I have written down is The Mummy tanked at the box office, as we've been saying for months that it would. Yes. Domestic, it did horrible. It did better overseas, where Tom Cruise is still the big name, but it tanked hard here. And now a lot of stuff's coming out that it's maybe Tom Cruise's fault.
I saw that.
Because he had complete control on the film.
Yeah. Well, there was... I read maybe the exact same thing that you read, but it sounded like they don't know exactly if it was his fault or he saved it from being worse than it was. Because what they said was the director realized he was in over his head and he was having a hard time with a bunch of stuff. So I don't know.
Tom Cruise brought him in as director, and they said a lot of times Tom Cruise was the one directing, it seemed like.
Yeah.
So this guy.
That's what I'm saying. Like, he also ordered several script rewrites. And you know how that goes. Once you start filming and you've got all these rewrites going.
Yeah.
Almost never. The only reason I'm fully, you know, Tom Cruise is not a movie director, really.
No.
And he's not a script writer. So maybe. But the fact that he just has picked such strong films before and always pulled them off tells me that...
I like that. This is kind of the flip flop of the last conversation.
Yeah,
where I'm on the other side, and you're like, you're in Tom Cruise's corner. Like, well, I want to believe that.
Right. It's just the evidence that Tom Cruise, like, if he gets control, is going to make a big stinker, isn't there? He's been heavily involved in all of his other films.
All I can think of is him at that movie premiere.
Yeah.
And get hit with a squirt gun and make a huge deal about it.
Now, why would you do that?
Don't walk away. Don't walk away.
Yeah.
And why would you do that?
Yeah.
You're a jerk.
Why would the kid do that?
Now you're on that Tom Cruise's side there, too. Why would somebody do that to him? It's not really nice.
If I was a 15-year-old, I would think it was funny, but...
Were you 15 when it happened? Because then you thought it was funny.
Yeah, I think I was like 22, maybe, or something like that, but...
Mentally, I was 15.
but yeah, The Mummy... I mean, it looks like a stinker from the get-go.
Oh, yeah.
And this is obviously Universal's trying to get a Marvel-type
Totally. And yeah. I completely agree with you that it, even if Tom Cruise was involved in it being as bad as it was, it still isn't all his fault. There's no way all the decisions were made on those film, that film were Tom Cruise's fault.
And he may have been the one to ruin it. I don't know. I'm just, I'm trying to
probably didn't have a lot to work with to begin with.
I'm trying to look at the track record and it just seems like they probably threw a bunch of money at him thinking that he was going to be the, you know, the, a big
deciding factor.
Yeah. A big draw here. Big hit. And it just, it doesn't even look like, I don't know.
I wouldn't know it was called The Mummy.
Yeah, it just looks
anything about it.
It looks like a cheap Mission Impossible,
a name on there,
ripoff.
Yeah, mixed with a villain from Marvel movies.
I heard it was just.
I heard it's
just,
awful.
Just really awful. Just really messy. Well,
it's and it goes to show that again, that Hollywood is so into. We're not just making one movie; we're making a franchise. This is a franchise. Before we even got one movie out, it's a franchise. Here's the franchise. Here's like all the other actors in the other films. The movie cost $190 million to make and supposedly another $100 million for advertising. So it's $290 million they're in. So they need to make the thing is that you double your production and your marketing budget. I think that's what it is. So they needed to make almost $600 million on the movie for them to feel it was a hit and a success because they want to get back their investment times too. And they're not going to get close to that.
Probably
they're going to be lucky to break even on the budget at this point. So if your first movie, you're breaking even, why would you then think that this is a whole universe they're going to be able to spin out of this and all these other films? And here's Russell Crowe's Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde movie. If this didn't hit, why do you think the rest are going to hit?
It's a dark universe, and it didn't sound like there was anything really dark about it. I cannot remember for the life of me what it was, but I think another Marvel-type franchise, I say Marvel-type, and I just mean... what they're trying to do with this and
the universe thing. Yeah.
Some other franchise got announced and they're already green light, like six movies or something like that, or five movies. And I can't remember what it is. And I thought
was it a Spider-Man universe?
It's a bad idea. No, it was,
it wasn't Power Rangers. Was it?
It was something that I thought should be left alone. And I can't remember what it was. You'll never guess it in a million years. I'll never remember.
Yeah.
But we'll find out when it happens. Mm-hmm. But I don't know why they're not learning their lesson. You know.
Who knows, man?
You just you can't force it. They want to follow the Marvel success type, but the reason it happened, and we've covered it on here before, is because Marvel was patient.
The slow build.
They each character got their own standalone movie. Some of them two movies. And then you can bring it together. But this business of, well, this is a mummy movie. And I heard they were in Egypt or Iraq or something for 5 minutes. And then it's back to London.
Oh, that's great.
Where, of course, when you think of the mummy, you think of London. And they're all over.
Totally.
All over the place.
Yeah.
And it's like,
awful.
You have to set up an aesthetic. And certain things have certain properties and. Just awful. But anyway, that's one thing that I'm glad, going back to what we said, I'm glad that it failed because it looks like crap.
Yeah.
I'm not glad that they made a mummy movie that was crap.
I would have much rather had a good mummy movie starring Tom Cruise.
I was looking forward to it back when they announced it.
It's more fun for me to enjoy a movie that I like and I'm happy about it being the way it is than it is for me to complain about the movie.
Yeah.
I don't get as much enjoyment about complaining about a movie as I do just going and seeing a movie and enjoying it and talking about how much I enjoyed it. I'd much rather be able to enjoy movies than to hate movies.
Yeah.
So, I forgot to say this when we were talking about all the DC stuff. Danny Elfman is doing the Justice League soundtrack now.
Oh.
So, with, you know...
that's interesting.
What's his name? Taking over the reshoots for Zack Snyder, Joss Whedon. He's bringing in Danny Elfman now to do the soundtrack. There was somebody else doing the soundtrack before. It has some weird name that's silly. It's like a silly code name that this previous person that was doing the movie was. But Danny Elfman's the one coming in and doing it. And we all know Danny Elfman did the Batman films. We also did the Spider-Man films. And I think he was brought in by Joss to do some work on Age of Ultron at one point. But that could be cool. Especially if he somehow manages to sneak in the 89 Batman theme with... Affleck's Batman. Yeah, I'd buy a ticket for that.
Could be cool.
If somebody told me, hey, he sneaks in the 89 Batman theme with Batman, I'd be like, okay, I'm buying a ticket. I'll buy a ticket to that.
Check it out.
Yeah. That could be cool.
Yeah, that's an interesting pick. That's good.
All right. That's everything I've written down. This is a long one. Hour and 5 minutes.
You guys earned it. You earned it.
All right.
Okay.
Well,
that's it.
Cool, guys.
Cool. All right.
A couple cool guys talking about cool things.
Yeah, a couple of hunks.
Hey. Hey, man. You're a cool guy talking about cool things. Hey.
You too, man. Hey.
Thanks, dude.
Okay.
All right. Well, see you guys next time.
That's James and I'm Mike. It's time to get this thing rolling.
All right, then.
Shake it out. Shake it out. God, I need it.